all the details on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in about 10 minutes.
Very exciting time of year, you guys. In fact, I'll go so far as to say it's the most wonderful time of the year.
That's beautiful.
That? Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well said, Bean.
Who's ready for some great news?
Oh.
Now, that wasn't on me.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! I have to tell you that I am ready for some great news. I don't know how much you don't watch the news, Kevin,
no.
You're a kid, but over the weekend, I felt it was one of those times where every single story was awful, like kids getting hit by school buses and just all and fires everywhere. I mean, it was just we need a palate cleanser here, Allie. So why don't you get us started?
I agree. Thank you, Bean.
No, I mean, do your great news story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about great news. I love the fact that so many people now send us great news
Me
stories.
Me too.
They send them on Twitter. They do it on Instagram. They email it to us. I love that because people are now on the lookout for stories that they maybe just scrolled past. They wouldn't take a minute to stop and read. And this one was sent to us from a young lady named Kat Corbett. And she said, this immediately made me think of you guys and great news. Although she called it good news. So come on, Kat. I mean, let's get it
she
together.
She hasn't heard the show.
Listen.
Sometimes it's only good, but we try to pick great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is falling on National Donut Day makes it even better. So every day for the last 30 years, John Chan has greeted customers at his Donut City location in Seal Beach, starting at 4:30 a.m. Him and his wife, Stella, they've become a staple in the community. For him, he said it's just nice working with his best friend and partner. But lately, you better get there earlier and earlier because the goodies are flying off the shelves like never before. And here's why. Last month, his wife had a brain aneurysm and she was rushed to the hospital and she continues now to recover at a nursing facility. And as you can imagine, it's been extremely difficult for the family. And when people in Seal Beach found out about this, they thought, you know what we should do? We should go in every day early and buy everything off the shelves so he can leave earlier and earlier every single day and spend more time with his wife.
That's awesome.
So they've been coming in and cleaning him out by 10:30 in the morning, which is wonderful. So they said the sooner we can get him home and get support for her, the better for both of them and the community.
But what about me if I want a donut at noon?
You don't get one, dude.
Mean.
But they're closed, though.
Right.
Because they have sold out.
I don't care for this at all.
So lovely John Chan can go to his wife Stella's side and be with her as she gets better and recovers. So got to hand it to the people in Seal Beach who saw this and thought, how can we help? And it's just such a simple way because I know, especially a guy that's had this place for 30 years, he's not just going to shut down. He's going to get in there early, get the job done, work as hard as he can so he can then leave later in the day. So to make it even easier for him to leave even earlier, it's such a blessing. So that's my great news.
Donuts, right?
Right.
Bean, there are other places, too, that you can get donuts. You should look into it.
Great news involves one young man's reaction to the awful anti-Semitic attack in Pittsburgh last week that killed 11 people and left six others injured, including four police officers. You've seen the outpouring on the news in Pittsburgh of blood drives and vigils and all the crowdfunding campaigns. And this one involves crowdfunding as well. A Chicago-based activist named Tariq El-Masidi works with a Muslim fundraising website called Launch Good. Within 2 hours of hearing about the shooting at the temple, he started an online campaign with a goal of $25,000 to help the people there. And this surprises a lot of people because this is a Muslim organization that generally raises money for Muslim concerns. Well, as of last night, they were well over $200,000 that has been raised for funeral costs of victims of the temple shooting and for medical bills for those who were injured. Putting our religious differences or even our political differences aside, the core of all of us is that we have a shared humanity, he said. We wanted to reach out as human beings to help. He said that, by the way, they've already started distributing some of the donations as of this morning. He also said that he was inspired by the story of the Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam. When he saw a funeral procession for a Jewish man, the Prophet stood up to pay his respects. When his disciples next to him noted that the man was not a Muslim, Muhammad replied, "Was he not a soul?" Mr. El-Masidi said that while Judaism and Islam have differences, they are linked by tragic similarities. Followers of both faiths have been targeted in bigoted attacks. This shared discrimination has brought both communities closer. So within a few days, he raised over $200,000 to help victims and family members of victims of the temple shooting.
Wow.
And I just think that's so beautiful when you see people of very, you know, it's easy in our mind to think about Muslims and Jews being at cross purposes. But when you get down to the basic humanity of it all, I think it's wonderful that something like this can happen. And that's my great news.
Mine is a soldier who was helping hurricane relief mission in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He lives in Charlotte. He goes to North Carolina and he's helping people clean up and looking for survivors and everything else, because that was one of the hardest hit places for the hurricane. And while he was gone, his home was robbed.
No.
In Charlotte, somebody broke into his back door, took his computer, took everything that was in there.
Man.
Stuff like that he didn't have a replacement for, and they get home and it's just his stuff is everywhere and it's all the important stuff is missing.
You may be misunderstanding the concept of great news.
So then his friend Mary Capron decided to put up a GoFundMe page to help him recoup some of the costs. Mm-hmm. She put it up and she said, "This is my goal, $5,000. In less than a day, people had sent in $15,000.
Wow.
In less than 24 hours. And then, and this is my favorite part of the story, he, Luis Ocampo, went and said, "I'm closing the GoFundMe because $15,000 is enough.
Oh, wow.
And I don't want to take advantage of people's kindness."
Seriously.
Right?
This guy.
So her friend, so his friend that put up the GoFundMe, good on you. All 400 people that donated, good on you.
Yeah.
And good on him for just closing it down and saying, "I have enough."
Yeah, we're good.
Use your money someplace else.
Mm.
That's sweet, and that's my
great news. Kevin, how did this topic get back on our radar this week?
Well, Dave isn't a good speller. Now, I know.
Great speller, by the way.
Now, I know that it's.
Whenever Dave says, "I'm a great fill in the blank,"
right,
you know it's the exact opposite.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the guy who should be calling him out because
sure.
I make a lot of spelling mistakes.
I've read your texts.
However,
somehow.
Sometimes he does it from the Kevin and Bean account, and it's. He has a particular problem, especially with one word. So he'll say, "Next week we have a bunch of great guests coming on the show.
Five people.
Then list five people, and we'll go, Dave, it's multiple. If guest is one, guests is
we have
more
great
than
guest.
One.
That sounds like you're having Christopher Guest on.
He's done that many different times.
Yeah.
And I emailed about it. And he's like, "Oh, man, that's really a problem. I can't.
I don't know there's an S at guest.
He can't get it." Right?
I just don't know what it is. I don't know why that one word, that frickin' S, I just can't ever place them in the correct. Because sometimes I'll say guests, and it's one D. Like with guests.
Really?
Yeah, it's with guests, plural, Brad.
Is this the only plural you have trouble with that you know of?
Oh, good question.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's the only one. It's constant. It's Chip will send me a text. Yeah, it's no S. Or S. You know, like,
But I emailed with you, and then I texted you, and then you didn't change it, which I thought was odd, so
I
took it down.
Well, see, Kevin, you don't take it down because it already had retweets from everybody who was involved, so good job on that.
Yeah, I took it down because it really is embarrassing.
No one even notices it.
Wrong.
They just assume that Kevin wrote it.
And that's possible.
That's true, by the way.
That's very possible.
That's true. Well, the topic is there are words that you just, they're just roadblocks for you. There's some word that you can't say or spell. I guess it could be spell, too, right, in Dave's case.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about here at 1-800-520-1067. And I don't think there's a person alive who doesn't have some sort of a hiccup. There's just something, for whatever reason, they always say it
incorrectly.
Brad,
as a comedian,
yes,
you make your living using the English language.
Yes.
What is difficult for you?
Definitely. All right, hold on. Definitely.
Definitely.
I can't say that word.
Really?
I can't spell that word. If you held a gun to my wife's head and said, spell it or she dies, I'd be like, babe, it was a good run.
I'm definitely going to miss you.
Why are we holding a gun to her head and not yours?
Yeah. Never mind.
Now, isn't that interesting? Now, I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Steve. Is that the only one or are there other similar words that you have trouble with as well?
That's the word that pops into my head. I can't. Say it. Do you not attempt it?
Do you stay away from it?
Yes. I'm go through a thesaurus and try to figure out other words.
Any other word.
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure instead of I'm definitely.
This is such a flashback for me. By the way, we're going to take your calls on this. If you've got words that you can't say or spell for some reason, you don't know why, 1-800-520-1067. When I hear Brad try to work through syllables by syllable to say the word definitely,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It recalls all the years, Kevin, that I could not say entrepreneur. Entrepreneur yeah. was...
He would work through it really slowly like you just did.
Every time it would come up where I would have to say it, I would go, oh, yeah, this guy says he's an entrepreneur. And then I actually, I'm fine with it now
he
because...
conquered it.
I conquered it. Because I sat down and I said, this is ridiculous. And I said it 500 times in a row.
Wow.
Honestly, I just had to keep trying it to get to the point where those syllables made sense together. Entrepreneur, yeah. entrepreneur, entrepreneur. But you used to be able to, I mean, that hold the gun to your head. Kevin, you remember, I tried hard on the air many times and was not able to say it.
Fantastic.
Now, Allie, you've been busting me lately on a word.
Yeah.
That I guess I'm more unaware that I say incorrect. What is it?
You say realistic. Instead of it's realistic.
Oh, yeah.
Say realistic.
There's an
realistic.
A in there.
Realistic.
So am I just talking too fast?
Say it one more time, Bean.
Realistic.
That sounded like real estate istic.
Am I slurring it?
It's sort of like a yeah.
Yeah, you're just saying realistic.
It's sort of like realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Realistic.
Yeah.
All right.
And you also say Thanksgiving. Instead of Thanksgiving.
Well, that's
putting the emphasis on the wrong part.
The world is split on that. That's not an that is not an incorrect pronunciation. Half the people say Thanksgiving, and the other half the people say Thanksgiving. That just depends on probably where you were raised.
Bean is same with all of my problems.
Yeah, Bean is very Trump-like with things like many people are saying.
I'm serious because
know how to say Thanksgiving.
I have seen articles about that exact topic. Do you say Thanksgiving or do you say Thanksgiving? I mean, it's pretty split on that.
Interesting.
For reals. The other...
says for reals.
He does. But he does that on purpose. It's tough to tell if he's joking,
right.
But he does do that on purpose.
And the other word, and then I want to hear from you, Allie, what your word is. The other word that I have to consciously be careful of, and I've had listeners yell at me about this before with, you know, tweets and emails and stuff, is I always want to say Arctic instead of Arctic. And I don't know where that came from.
Wow.
But it's Arctic.
Yeah, now that you say that, I'm probably the same way.
Yeah.
You say Arctic sometimes, right?
The Arctic Circle.
Right. Yeah, and where does that come from? Why do we say Arctic?
No
because
idea.
Arctic seems odd and difficult to say.
Yeah, there's just like a C in there, and you're like, that doesn't make
that
any
C
sense.
That C shouldn't be in there.
No, so I'm just going to make an executive
but it was
decision.
Sure fun when we had the Arctic monkeys in.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Allie, how about you?
My word, we've talked about this before, and I still won't say it. I add an L to it. It's amphitheater.
I'm sorry?
It should be amphitheater because you're amplifying is what it should be. Amphitheater. But it's amphitheater.
She says amphitheater for some reason.
No, I say amphitheater. I put an L in.
So,
yes, amphitheater.
So in your
doesn't
opinion,
that sound right?
No.
Oh.
No. So I did my April Foolishness set, mm-hmm. my very first one, at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Where?
At the...
No, you tell us, Allie.
At the amphitheater.
How come you can't say amphitheater?
Amphitheater?
I mean, at least there's a sound in there, but it's not an L.
Amphitheater.
What? That is so
close
crazy.
Enough.
I hate that word so much.
You guys need hypnotherapy.
I
did. Something.
I did find a report out of Colorado where a college had a misspelling on their diplomas for six
years.
Wow.
Nice.
Listen to this.
Imagine getting your college diploma only to find it misspelled.
Apparently, that is exactly what's been happening at Colorado Mesa University the past 6 years. Only now has been brought to the school's attention. Our coverage of Colorado takes us over to Grand Junction. Recent Mesa grad Alec Williams finally noticed the mistake. Take a look. Instead of Board of Trustees.
Board of Trustees, and then the guy signs above it.
Yeah.
Says CORD. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the school is offering to reprint the diplomas, and since the mistake has been going on since 2012, means there could be more than 9,000 reprints.
But wait a minute. That's just a typo. That's not somebody who didn't know how to spell a word. That's a typo.
But the fact that nobody caught it.
And it's the diploma that says you learned information at our school.
And while still being horrible, if it had been like B-O-R-E-D, Board of Trustees, then I would have been like, okay. That makes sense. I kind of get that because you read it as board and it makes sense to you. But Court of Trustees?
Yeah.
By the way, great band name.
That's not bad.
All right. Let's take one call before the break, and let's make it Monique, Line 5, Police, Los Angeles. We're looking for the word that, for whatever reason, you can't say it or spell it, and you've tried, but you always get it wrong. Monique, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your word?
Thank you. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you very much.
Guys.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
My word is, I have to break it down, strategically.
That was very good. And when you're not thinking about it and you don't slow down, how does it come out? How do you usually say it?
Just all sorts of effed up. I'm not even gonna attempt it because my husband always has to correct it anyway. So I just try my best not to even use it. Even when I have to type it, I even just think of other words to type that might mean.
Brad, you completely avoid that word.
That's very funny.
So you must have loved the Will Ferrell, George W. Bush sketch when he said strategery.
Yes.
You're like,
yeah, there you go.
That's probably what threw her off.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
But how often is she using this word?
Well, never.
Unfortunately, I think I use it quite a bit because I seem to think faster. I seem to talk faster than my mind thinks.
Ah.
So,
that's Kevin's excuse.
Welcome to my house.
That's
my
Kevin's excuse.
Monique, thank you for finally picking up the phone and giving us a call. It's very good to hear from you. We appreciate it. All right, 1-800-520-1067. What is your word? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Funny man Brad Williams is here as well.
Right.
Taking your phone calls about you have a particular problem with words, a single word, most of us.
I just love that you do that intro, Kevin. We're taking phone calls from you losers out there that have problems talking.
Losers.
Losers, please.
You don't mind.
For talking about spelling.
Yeah.
On Twitter, Dirty Dutch Junkie writes in, says, every time my hubby says the word tsunami, he says tusami. Just can't say it. Alex writes in, I can't believe Bean didn't mention the word that he says wrong at the end of every week. It's pronounced Friday, Bean.
Oh, that's funny. See?
That is true.
Not Fry-yay. Well, he's wrong about that. All right. Let's get some calls. Let's start with Chrissy Anaheim up first, line one on the Kevin to meet you. Everybody else, please hang on. We'll get to you. Chrissy, line one. There you go. What's going on, my dear? Thank you for calling.
Hi, it's my mom. She has a few words she can't pronounce properly.
Okay.
But the two that are really funny is Vietnamese and Buena Park.
What does she say instead of Buena Park?
She says Buena.
Buena Park. I love it.
Buena Park sounds like my babysitter back in the day.
Any Latino names are out of it because she can't pronounce any of them. And then Vietnamese, she says Vietnamese.
Vietnamese.
What's
wrong with your mom?
I know.
I think you got to put her down. I'm sorry, Chrissy.
No, let her live.
Oh,
let
no, she's
live,
going to the home.
Chrissy.
Too far gone. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go. Let's stay in Anaheim, line two. This is going to be Chris. We met Chrissy. Now let's meet Chris. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I can't spell occasionally.
Can't spell occasionally.
How do you screw it up?
Sometimes there's two C's. Sometimes there's two S's.
I'm with you on that one.
Sometimes there's two L's.
I'm with you on that one, yeah.
I hear you.
That's a difficult one.
That word has too much going on. I think that's allowed. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. Dominic is in Mission Viejo, line three, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Dominic.
Hi.
Hi.
I have issues with the word crown.
Crown?
Crown, like the Netflix show?
Color. Like the thing you color with, but I always say crown, like the thing you wear on your head.
Oh, you say crayon is crown.
Oh, he's trying to say crayon?
Yes, I have a friend that does
crayon?
This as well.
Who says crayon? What?
How did you...
You don't say crayon?
No, he just said crayon.
Crayon?
C-R-A-N.
Crayon?
That's what Brad said. He was like, oh, you say crayon? No.
Wait, it's not crayon?
No, it's crayon.
It's crayon or crown.
We just discovered one for me.
That's wait, happening. Dominic, say it again.
Crown.
That's so weird.
All right, now say it the way you know it needs to be pronounced.
Crayon. I'm even trying, I can't do it.
We're not laughing at you, Dominic.
Crayon?
No, no, no. We are.
That's how it's said?
Yes, it's crayon.
Crayon.
I've been saying that wrong for years.
That's what I was just making fun of you for.
I say it like it's an Ocean Spray drink.
Thank you, Dominic.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, we're not making fun of anybody because we all have these words. Let's go to Yvette Burbank up next, line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Yvette.
Hi. So it's not a word that I can't really, like, spell, but it's a word that I mispronounce. I say salmon.
Oh, instead of salmon?
Yeah. And
I mean, there is an L there.
A lot of sushi, so it's kind of an issue.
Now, when you order that, do people think you're being pretentious? Like, oh, salmon.
I don't know. No one. I mean, just my friends always make fun of me for it, and they also say that I say Rite Aid really weird. But
you
I
say
don't
what?
Rite Aid. I love it. Rite Aid.
You don't say just
isn't that how
Rite
you
Aid?
Say it?
No,
no, it's Rite Aid.
Rite Aid?
No, Rite Aid. Emphasis on the right.
Rite Aid.
No.
Close enough.
Thank you, Matt. I love you. Thank you very much for that. What's the word we always used to make fun of Dave, Kevin, that has a T in it? Like butthole and button. Doesn't he do that?
Oh, I have friends in Utah that say, oh, I just adopted such a cute kitten. And I say, oh, but you live in the mountains. How are you going to take care of it? Like, this makes no sense. Kitten.
You used to mock me for button and woof.
We should.
Yeah, Dave can't say the word wolf.
He says woof.
No.
He does. He says woof. Woof. Every single time.
It's in the hell of a V in
there.
And
we've corrected him 100 times and he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
But I think that's what the point of all of these are. Every single person we've talked to knows how it is supposed to be pronounced, but there's just some sort of blockage in their brain that they can't stop it.
Unless it's me and crayon.
Right. Right. Yeah. Sure. All right. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to line 6, please, in Van Nuys. We're going to say hi to Sean. He's got a good one.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, so mine is ax.
Oh, ask a question?
All right, Sean, are you a black dude?
Yes.
All right, so you've
totally
grown,
forgiven.
You've grown up with ax your whole life. You've heard it from elders your whole life. I don't know how it got started, but it's completely understandable. You've probably heard the word ax more than you've heard the word ask in your whole life.
Well, I'm from Mississippi, and that's just how we say it down there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, but... But you know it's ask, right? You just can't help yourself?
I'm trying to say ask. I didn't really realize I'm doing it. It's like it's my Aquila Kill. So I had one person
what?
Even call me out on it. It was like this really nice Caucasian lady, and she was like, are you trying to say ask? And then that kind of made me feel weird.
I am just really surprised when you see people, high-profile people, people in the government, you know, famous athletes or actors, and they just stick with ACT. They stick with it because I think you're right. I think they go, that's how we pronounce it.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're going to allow it. Thank you very much.
I think you get a pass, Sean.
It's I
pass.
Do, too. Right. Thank you. All right. Let's do one more. Let's make it, how about Rochelle Sundland, line 8, please.
Hey, Rochelle.
Hey, I say the word pretzel instead of pretzel.
Pretzel? You put an N in there?
I do. It's weird. I've grown up with it my whole life, and no one corrected me until I was like 20 years old.
No one cares about you. That's so sad.
I know.
Never go to Germany for Oktoberfest. They will hate you, and you do not want Germans hating you.
I wonder where that even started, though.
Yeah, because
I have
that's
no idea, but I got corrected so late in life that I it is what it is now.
So that's very
so sticking with pretzel.
So when you go to the mall and you go to that pretzel shop, Wetzel's Pretzels, do you say it like that?
I do. And I used to sell pretzels because I worked at a smoothie shop.
Oh, so no.
It's totally screwed. It's totally
By the way, Brad, you misspoke. It's Wenzel's pretzels.
Yeah. Right.
Is it? Wenzel's pretzels.
It's not. Oh, jeez. You're scaring
just putting
me now.
The N in both words.
Oh, my God.
Rochelle, you are awesome. Brad, you are awesome. We will see you next Tuesday night. Once again, the details, August 21st, 8 p.m. at the Hollywood Park Casino Turf Club. This is what, the third time
you've
done the comedy, K-Rock comedy show?
Third show out there in Inglewood. And if you're out in the Inland Empire and you want to see me, I'm at the Ontario Improv next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So four chances to see me do some stand-up comedy.
All right. And the night, the K-Rock No Limit Comedy Night on the 21st next Tuesday is Brad hosting, Alonzo Bowden, Sarah Tiana, the Smash Brothers, and Steve-O. Tickets available right now at playhpc.com. 21 and up. Your $30 ticket includes your first drink, so it's a pretty good deal. Brad, we love you, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
Allie, how was your weekend?
It was lovely. How was yours?
I had a great weekend.
Saw a tweet that was concerning.
Yeah. I went to Luc Robitaille's charity poker tournament. He does this every year.
Right.
He and his wife, Stacia, run a charity for kids who age out of the foster care community. Like at 18, they kick them out.
Right.
And so then they find kids that want to go to college and they sponsor them. And it's an amazing charity.
Wonderful.
And every year they do a poker tournament. So this was Saturday and it was at Santa Monica Museum of Flying. Have you ever been there?
Is it in the hangar?
No, yeah, it's a no. I think it's just a big building right there near the actual airport, Santa Monica Airport.
All right.
So this is the first year they had it there. So I drove in and said event parking, and I went and I parked and I walked and I went into the event.
Easy, yeah.
Easy peasy. Played poker. I don't know. There was like 300 people, and at one point I should have been beat. About halfway through, I had a pair of tens and a guy had a pair of sevens, and then the board turned over and there was another seven. So he had three sevens. So I was like, I reached over and shook his hand. I was, congratulations, man. Good job. And I stood up to walk away. And then the last card came in. It was the only card that I could have won on, and I won.
Did you then say psych and take your hand back?
I didn't say psych. No, I had already I had already finished shaking his hand, congratulating him.
You didn't wait for that last card?
Well, what are the chances?
Still. Though, right, there is a chance, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so what are the chances?
I'm not positive what the chances are, but I have two of the four.
Right.
Tens. So there's only two left. So what are the chances that they're actually going to, that card's going to come at that moment? It's the only card I could win on.
Yeah.
It did.
Okay.
So I was lucky, as lucky AF. So then I make it all the way to eighth place. Very happy. Get to the final table. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's watching. Party.
Sure.
Hey, I'm doing well. Everybody else is doing well. We're having a good time. Perhaps a beverage or two. And then they give out prizes for the top 10 places. And I pick my prize, and it's fantastic. And then I walk outside.
Uh-huh.
And I look across the street.
Yeah.
At the parking lot that I'm parked in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's black. It's dark.
It's very much closed.
It's not just closed. You can't see it. I don't know. Somehow it's a black hole. You look
it's
in there.
It's invisible.
It's invisible.
Oh, no.
There are no cars in there. And I thought, well, maybe that's not the lot I parked in.
Right.
Maybe it's next to it one way or the other. Because I haven't gone to Santa Monica Airport very often. So I walk all the way around holding my little bag of goodies. I have like a little bag of stuff that I had won. And I walk all the way around the left side. No, it's locked. This is crazy. Walk all the way around to the right side.
Oh, no.
I completely walked around the entire parking lot. And it was locked.
Sure was.
And there were no lights. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes most places have some lighting.
Sure.
Nothing. I thought I could see my car. And I'm pretty sure it was the only one there.
Oh, man.
But I wasn't positive. I couldn't make it out. I was just looking. And then I thought, well, this fence doesn't look that high. This is where I go into Kevin thinking.
Sure.
I'm 6'2". It's about 2 feet up. So I'm thinking, I'm 8 foot fence. Not bad.
Sure.
Chain link. No, there's no like wire at the top or anything to keep. So I climb the fence.
Okay.
Holding my little bag of goodies. And then I drop the bag of goodies and I get down on the other side and I go and I find my car. It's there.
Excellent.
It is indeed the only car there.
Oh, right.
Just me. And I get in the car and I turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And only then do I think, There's no gates open.
Right. How are you getting out?
Right.
Uh-huh. Only
but
then.
I didn't have that thought until I had started the car.
So not before you went over the fence.
Correct.
Not as you walked to your car.
Very excited to see my car.
Sure. You were thrilled.
I found it.
Right.
I solved this.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking.
You sure are.
That's what I thought. So I turned it back off,
uh-huh.
and I walked back to where I jumped the fence. Uh-huh.
Please tell me you at least left the bag of goodies in the car.
I didn't. That's funny.
You brought it with you.
I didn't even think of that for one second.
Better take my goodies with me to get back over this fence.
And I did the tweet, and I got a bunch of responses from people. And right this second when you said it, is the first time I thought I could have left a little bag of goodies in the car. So I take my bag of goodies, and I re-jump the fence.
Sure.
And I call an Uber, and then the Uber comes about 15 minutes later.
Oh, good.
And I take the Uber, and I go home and go to bed.
Oh,
so it's
heaven.
A pretty triumphant beginning of the night.
Right.
With some luck, and uh-huh. then not so much of an ending.
Well, then it dipped down, but then again triumphant because you got to your car.
Right.
It's like a roller coaster of emotions.
Exactly. I'm thinking to myself, I'm the smartest. Oh, you know what? No.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
Oh, man.
So that was my Saturday night. So then I had to Uber mm-hmm. to get my car on Sunday. Get
of
it
course.
Out of the lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So no time. Signage, though, when you... When you went in saying this lot closes at 11, midnight, that
right.
type of thing?
If I'm going to be honest, there was a sign that said the uh-huh. lot closed at 6:30. But
P.M.?
Yes, but... and the poker tournament started at like 4. But it said event parking. So I thought, oh, well, this is
an event.
Clearly an event. And I
right.
thought it was the only event there.
Oh,
so that
man.
So then when I got to my car yesterday,
oh,
it had a little note on it that said, we're going to tow your car in 12 hours if you don't get it. So
my.
I had gotten it 12 hours just before they towed it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm a genius.
Is that what we're saying?
That's the takeaway.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, how about some animal stories, you guys?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
I think only one of the animal stories today involves a person getting killed by an animal, Kevin. So I think this is a pretty reasonable batch for Friday, right?
I'm just not a fan of animal/death stories. Let's do one or the other.
Okay.
Right?
Here's a piece of advice if you're in a shopping mall in the Zhejiang province of eastern China. If they close the walkway above the shark tank, maybe don't push it open and insist on going that way. Because what will happen is you'll fall into the shark tank, and it's not going to be pretty. That's what happened to a woman seen on video, by the way. They usually keep the shark tank, the roof of it closed. It has glass enclosure. But it was open because they were feeding the sharks, and that's why the walkway was closed.
Mm.
But this woman needed to get to Hot Topic. So she pushed the walkway aside and fell into a shark tank in the mall.
Mm.
She, by the way, was pulled from the water by two security guards and walked away completely fine and uninjured. But that is a trip to the mall she will not soon forget.
Hang on, let me scratch off people are dumb story about woman falling in shark tank.
Okay, back to you. All right, please do that. Here is a, we're also in China for this one. This is a man in Beijing who really didn't think he was going anywhere with his life. He's 31 years old. When he dropped out of school at around 15, he decided he didn't know what to do. He just spent most of his time playing video games at internet cafes. Log on, sleep, and repeat. One day, a friend urged him to check out some puppies for sale. What happened next, the man described as magical. He locked eyes with a black and white bundle of fluff. He adopted this dog, and he named him Silar after a character on the TV show Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started watching YouTube videos of dog trainers studying their techniques late into the night. He taught Silar how to high five, how to play dead, how to walk like a human, how to jump up and down on tables. And then he started putting videos up on YouTube. And then they got really, really popular. And then he ended up getting millions of views with almost a million followers on social media for his little dog.
Wow.
It was a gold mine.
He turned that into opening a dog food and toy store and selling stuff online and merchandise with Sylar's. He became so rich that he thought, what can I do for my dog? I've already got a tattoo of his name on my forearm. What can I do for my dog who has made this incredible life for me? So he decided to build him the world's greatest dog house, which cost $500,000.
Holy crap.
He transformed the two-acre lot into a paradise for Sylar, with a spa, a trampoline, an indoor pool, two murals of Sylar's face with a party room. This is
what?
The dog. Yes.
He's living better than all of us.
Yes. A $500,000 doghouse. You should check out the video of this, by the way. Sylar is doing pretty well for himself. But isn't it crazy that his whole life got turned around just because he adopted a cute dog?
You know when you date a guy or a girl and you make a home, and then maybe you get married, then you break up.
Right.
Then you date someone else, and they don't want to live in that same home.
Right.
Because it's just too much for the other person.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Dude's never getting another dog.
Yeah,
right?
I was
hoping thinking?
When Bean described the whole thing, I was hoping that the dog fell dead right then.
This is the death one.
Awesome.
Oh, you're the worst.
Here's your death story. A news report says a Rochester, New York man has died of a variation of mad cow disease after eating the brains of a squirrel that he killed.
Okay.
Well, I'm fine with this then.
The 61-year-old male was diagnosed with the rare brain infection. By the way, I had no idea that mad cow disease was still a thing in the United States. Did you know that there are over 350 cases per year of mad cow disease in the U.S.?
I thought it was gone for good.
Yeah.
I did,
I
too.
I thought that number would be zero.
I did, too.
Wow.
Apparently, it doesn't kill everybody because we'd be hearing a lot more about it. But this guy ate brains. And by the way, apparently there have been lots of stories. Doctors in Kentucky put out a warning sign about eating squirrel brains a few years ago after 11 people were diagnosed with it. All of them were squirrel brain eaters.
Oh, dear.
Who eats a squirrel brain?
I had no idea that this was a thing.
Why would anyone even think, oh, that's a squirrel? I'm going to eat its brain.
I don't know. I mean, look, I understand if you're a hunter and you like to catch your own food and maybe you shoot a deer or something. Even if you shoot a squirrel, I would think that you would take the meat off the squirrel and you
right.
would eat that. Why would you eat the squirrel's brains? And finally, you might have seen this in the news. A young bongo calf.
What's that?
Apparently is a thing. A bongo calf. Apparently it's a deer-like animal that is native to Kenya. There's only about 200 of them apparently in the wild today. This one was in a zoo in Sacramento. The bongo calf's name is Taylor Swift, by the way. And she escaped.
Oh, is this the death one?
No, the death one was the guy with the squirrel brains.
Sorry.
She escaped from her pen in the Sacramento Zoo. She's an antelope-type creature, and they were able to corral her, but, you know, just like that jaguar in New Orleans a few months ago, the zoo closed the park's main gate and told guests they couldn't come in until Taylor was found quickly thereafter. Staff used baffle boards and tables to gently guide her on a pathway to put her back into her area. Zookeepers found minor cuts on the calf, but she is otherwise uninjured. I mean, I guess there was a blank space where she was supposed to be in her pen, is the only thing I can think about. Taylor.
Oh, look what you made him do.
This is
come on.
Not the first time the calf has escaped, so I guess they knew she was trouble.
Shake it off, you guys. We're going to be fine.
There were fears that the bongo could not be found, that she was never, ever getting back together with her closure. But the zoo employees, when asked about the security breach, said they would shake it off, Allie. And there was no bad blood between them and Taylor.
Okay, good. What's the end game here?
The end game is that this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
A story came out yesterday that is very troubling to me. Look. A lot of people have a fear of flying anyway, and it's not really the fear of flying as much as it is the fear of crashing. And I don't care how seasoned a flyer you are, it crosses your mind every time you get on a plane that once in a great while a plane goes down. This Qantas Flight 94 from Los Angeles to Melbourne that took off on Sunday night went into a 10-second nosedive. 10 seconds of a plane going down
yeah.
has to feel like an eternity, right?
No question.
I mean, you are convinced after that amount of time that you are going to die. You have to be, right?
If you're in a nosedive, it's not just like you lost a little bit of, you know.
Or you banked.
Yes. Thank you. I'm like, elevation? You lost yeah. gravity up there, right?
Yeah,
where's
elevation.
Kevin,
I mean,
when you need him?
To explain gravity. If a plane just went down swiftly, that
Lord.
Would be one thing. But this is a free fall nosedive,
yes.
a direct decline toward the ocean.
Oh.
It was between 1.5 and 2 hours after we left L.A., said a passenger, and all of a sudden the plane went through a violent turbulence and then completely upended, and we were nosediving. We were all lifted from our seats immediately. We were in a free fall. It's that feeling like when you were at the top of a roller coaster and you've just gone over the edge of the peak and you start heading down. It was an absolute sense of losing your stomach and that we were nosediving. So, a couple of questions about this. I know it's terrifying even to imagine, even though all 484 people on board were fine. Nobody was even injured as a result of this, by the way.
Can I just say, when I'm up in the sky for an hour and a half, 2 hours, everything's fine. Because we already took off. That's when most
yes.
problems happen. I'm in the sky. Planes don't fall out of the sky. Now I have to worry about planes falling out of the sky.
Yes. Allie, God you and I both had no idea of what happened to this plane
yes.
is something that is common.
It's caused by a vortex or, quote, wake turbulence caused by another aircraft.
What?
How? No! No, I don't want that.
This is so shocking to me because, look, I understand that air traffic control is a difficult job because there are hundreds and hundreds of planes in the sky at all times, and you have to keep track of them to make sure they don't run into each other. What I didn't know is that in this case, these two planes were 20 nautical miles apart, which, by the way, a nautical mile is even more than a regular
yes.
mile. So picture a plane being like 25 miles away. And it was at a different altitude of 1,000 feet. Yet those two planes were too close to each other in the sky, and that's what created this turbulence. Why have I never heard of this before?
And why do I need to know now? I didn't need to know this. I'm telling you, I didn't. I'm
upset. By the way, this deep background on this story, there are other cases of planes that have crashed as a result of this. So you can be a pilot flying a plane and doing everything right and have a completely healthy plane mechanically, and another plane can fly by you 20 miles away, and all of a sudden that creates an atmospheric disturbance that takes your plane down. Like, we need something else to worry about when we get on a plane.
If you're heading to the airport right now, sorry about this conversation.
Does it say how big the planes are that cause these turbulence or cause these pockets of air, these vortexes?
Well, let me see. What kind of planes? I mean, these are obviously, it's 484 people on a plane. I mean, that's a big plane. I would assume it's like a 767 or something like that. I would imagine, right? For that
yeah,
kind of passengers?
In 93, it was a Boeing 757.
Yeah.
I mean, these are not prop dusters.
No. Exactly, but, yeah.
Prop dusters?
Prop dusters.
Prop dusters, yeah. Yeah, just like the farts.
Prop planes. That's what I meant.
What goes through your mind, you think, if you honestly believe you're on a plane that's going down?
Well, first, I'm thinking, I'm glad it's over the ocean.
Yeah.
Right?
Not but like the ocean is going to be a lighter hit than
yeah, you don't survive. You don't survive 30,000 feet. To the ground,
no.
even if you land. It doesn't matter if you're in the ocean or on the land, Dave.
Nosedive.
It doesn't matter. I think you when the 9/11 planes were hijacked, people had several minutes and they tried to make phone calls. I think that's out of the question if you've got a plane that's just going down in a nosedive, right? I don't think you could even get a phone call off probably, right? How long would it take, I wonder, to hit the water from where this plane was flying?
This conversation.
I know, it's terrible.
I mean, the only thing I can think is if you were up there and you had Wi-Fi, if you have the presence of mind just to fire off one email, like, I love you, that's it.
But can you imagine doing that when a plane's at 90 degrees?
No, I don't. I think you just, if you pray, you pray.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I think if you don't pray, you pray.
Yeah.
You know?
I always wondered how this works. I'm not a big believer in religion. I'm very comfortable with other people getting strength and comfort and out of faith. I'm not a guy who is a believer, but I think I might believe in Jesus in that last minute just in case it's all true.
Yeah.
I think I might give my life to Jesus because they always say it doesn't matter when in your life. If you give your life to Jesus, you get to go to heaven. So I think that's how I would bank it, is in that last 15 seconds I go, all right, Jesus, I'm with you.
We cool? We cool?
We cool. And I also would be thinking very hard in that final minute about what was on my browser at home. I think that would be a very a real concern about it. By the way, the woman interviewed in this article that I quoted from, she and her seatmate, along with multiple people on the plane, held hands with complete strangers, which makes total sense to me because no one wants to die alone. And if you're there, you just want a human. Mm-hmm. You just want the touch of a human and some comfort, right?
Aren't you supposed to tuck your head into your legs and when you're going down?
If you are in a free fall, you're not caring
not
about
you.
They're not following protocol.
Oh, you're the worst.
They're not following protocol. Follow protocol, you'll be safe.
We have to end with the all-time greatest depiction on film of people on a plane thinking they're going to die from the amazing 2000 movie Almost Famous. Remember, the band is in crazy turbulence and they think this is their last minute. And the drummer decides, I got to get this out. I can't die without telling people this secret I've held my whole life.
And you say you love me. I don't love you, man. I never did. None of us love you.
Please, enough!
Thank God and Bob, we're alive! We're alive, we're gonna make it!
Sweet relief!
So, in the 70s, a guy comes out and admits he's gay to his bandmates, and then the turbulence just ends right there. Great scene, great movie. I'm with Allie. We didn't need to know about this kind of turbulence, right?
No.
Stop it, planes. Not gonna lie, I've been looking forward to this all week long, you guys.
Oh, Jensen. Nope.
That's my ska noise.
It's
the interrupters are here, ladies and gentlemen. The interrupters in the building here on the world famous K-Rock. Now, the whole band is here to be performing in a few minutes, but we have Amy and Kevin in studio with us right now. And I have to tell you, I was starting to get a little bit of a complex because your band seems to be crushing hard on Stryker and also Megan here at K-Rock. Very little Kevin and Bean love until today.
You know what? It starts now.
Okay, right. Well, we're happy about that. We're happy to have you. So, all four of you guys are local?
Yeah.
Where'd y'all grow up?
The Valley. Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys area.
818, baby!
Yeah, 818.
Nice.
Went to high school right around here, though, at Hamilton. So, all over L.A., really.
Okay.
So the three brothers are in a band. Amy's on the same bill. That's how you meet. Instant chemistry?
Pretty much. I mean, we definitely exchanged CDs that first night, and we were like, hey, we should write some songs together. And here we are 8 years later.
Nice. Were you like, oh, these dudes again, Amy? No,
they're adorable.
They are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Immediately.
They're like Ska Hansen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Skansen.
Yes.
We've done it again.
We got to stop doing that. Yeah. Well, they're twin brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know, and they are very hard to tell apart.
Yeah,
so.
They've got the same face, which I believe is what they mean by twins.
It's very common with twins.
Yeah. I'll look into it.
Okay. A lot of them look alike. Okay.
But they're a rhythm section, bass and drums. So we've got a really tight, good rhythm session. They're very like telepathic.
Yeah. Totally
they
in tune
each
with each other.
Yeah.
That's
so,
awesome.
Kevin, tell me about the Bavona kids as little kids. I mean, were you banging around on instruments together like at 6 years old or something? Or is this something you came to like high school times?
No, pretty much. Yeah. We grew up, you know, our father's a musician. Our grandfather was a musician. So there was always instruments in the house. And as early as we could kind of pick up a guitar, I picked up a guitar, and then I kind of had Jesse play drums, and the only thing left was bass, and Justin ended up playing bass, and it just kind of worked out, because he's a great bass player now, but that was, it was kind of like necessity is the mother of invention, but yeah, I mean, we grew up listening to K-Rock and trying to learn, you know, Green Day songs and Rancid songs and stuff. And so this is kind of mind-blowing for us right now.
It's not only mind-blowing that you're here, and we feel the same way about having you visit, but the bands you just mentioned are bands that you've ended up not only being in the universe with, but writing with, working with, producing with. I mean, that has to just blow your mind.
Yeah, it never gets old, for sure.
I love that Billy Joe was like, hey, here's a riff. If you guys want it, cool. If not, whatever. Were you like, holy crap.
Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
Travis
great.
Barker has been a big proponent of your band for a long time. Is he, because we always argue he is the greatest person on the planet. Like, we can't think of anyone who's sweeter, who's nicer, who's more genuine.
I'm in the room, great. Dude. I mean, Jesus. I mean,
other than Jensen.
Jensen included, by
yeah.
the way.
Oh, God.
Do you adore him like we do?
We love Travis, yeah. And he's been a supporter of our band since the beginning. We recorded our second record at his studio. He opened the door for us for free. And and Tim Armstrong, who produced all our records, like, all these guys are so supportive, and like they're like family for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What's it like out of Southern California? Because you do tour a lot. Is there, forgive my ignorance on this, but ska never really went away for a certain population in Southern California. It'll always be popular here with a certain number of people. Is that the case as you travel around? Is there a ska community in every town?
Definitely. There's a ska community everywhere you travel. Yeah.
It never really goes away. It just kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe to the mainstream, in and out, you know. But every time we pull up to a city and we play a show, there's definitely kids there dancing that are keeping the dream alive.
You started out as a straight-up rock and roll band and then got into punk? Or no, is that wrong?
This band is... we've always kind of played punk rock, and that's what we grew up doing, and that's where our heart is. So, I mean, we've... You know, played some reggae here, some rock there, and just kind of like, anything we like, we don't discriminate. That's a beautiful thing about modern times, too, is no one's really that genre-specific anymore. Like, I only listen to this type of music, and that's a great thing about, like, you know, all streaming and all that stuff, so.
As a punk ska band out of L.A. with a female front, singer, obviously you guys get a lot of comparisons to Say Ferris, obviously, right?
They're friends of ours.
But point is, do you guys, like, did you ever think, like, in 2018, like, you guys are killing it, it's being added on all these radio stations, like, who kind of saw that coming with ska? You guys are kind of doing the unthinkable.
We're pinching ourselves, and we're just so grateful, like, that we're getting love on radio. We didn't think, like, you know, 7 years ago when we started, like, a ska punk band that we were going to... Yeah. You know, be climbing the charts.
And the first time you heard yourself was here, right? You were listening to K-Rock, and you were like, that's us.
Yeah, yeah. Stryker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stryker played us at 420. Yeah.
That's why they love Stryker the most. that's understandable.
Makes sense.
But we are really so blown away by the love that we're getting, and we just thank you guys for believing in us from the beginning.
Look, and we say this all the time to bands. We're not on the air. We're not a radio station without great music from great bands, so we appreciate you so much making something that our audience enjoys so much. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
And it's interesting, Amy, to hear you say that the radio play is something that's so unexpected. And I get what you're saying, because for most people, the music is the reward. The fact that we created this and now we have something that we love and then we can share, most people don't dream beyond that. The last thing you expect is you're playing the Kimmel show like you were last week. Yeah. And then you have to wake up that day and go, I'm going to be playing songs tonight that people are going to be able to see in Hawaii and in Maine. This is big time.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We are seriously blown away by it. Every day we're just like pinching ourselves. So,
the thing that I love is you posted you meeting one of your absolute heroes, Joan Jett.
Yes.
And this relationship through just looking at this picture, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, that's going to be some little girl listening to you right now. In like 10 years, she's going to meet you and it's going to be that same thing.
That's nuts, right?
Yeah.
So don't be a dick, Amy, I think is
what that's what I'm saying.
That's what Alex said.
If you feel anything from if you sit in a room with the Interrupters, the first thing you think about is these guys are dicks.
Boy, they're full of themselves.
The boys honestly look 11 years old, which is something we should also address, that each of them needs chaperones on tour.
They're definitely drinking a lot of water.
Children.
Their skin looks great. Everyone.
I thought that I was watching some of your videos yesterday from a tour, and you guys are out there looking very sharp in your suits, and I was thinking they look like little kids who had to go to a wedding.
They
Thank
the,
you.
The K-Rock Summer Pool Party is going to be happening tomorrow, you guys. Iration is going to be performing. You know those guys?
We don't, but we're looking forward to meeting them. Yeah, they're awesome.
That's a good band, too. Yeah. Along with the Interrupters, we're giving away tickets, of course, throughout the day today, including on our show coming up next hour. A four-pack of passes on the way. That is going to be at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, and your friend Stryker is going to be hosting it. Go to krock.com for another chance to win. All right, we are going to send y'all down the hall, and I understand you are going to perform a couple of songs from your latest album, which was just out at the end of June, called Fight the Good Fight. There's not a bad song on this record, so you guys can play whatever the hell you want, okay?
Thank you so much.
And we will check in with you on the other side of the break. Live music from the Interrupters happening this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Almost 50 years ago, Houston in Mission Control was able to talk to the men standing on the moon almost 50 years ago. Yet I still have concerns and questions that I'm going to be able to get down the hall and get Allie and the Interrupters at the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. Allie, can you hear me? Come on.
I'm sorry. Repeat all that? Totally kidding. Please don't. No, we hear you. Everything's good.
You do? You sound very good.
Excellent. Well, I'm not the one that should sound good. Let's make sure the band does as well. You guys can hear us, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So we're happening. The Interrupters has been our guest. The album is called Fight the Good Fight. It was released on June 29th. You've been hearing the song She's Kerosene a lot here on K-Rock. It's one of our best songs we're playing right now. But what are you going to be doing first for us here, guys?
This is a little ditty called Take Back the Power.
I can't wait. Live Interrupters playing acoustic on the Kevin DeBean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader? Will you follow? Are you a fighter or will you cower? It's our time to take back the power. What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader or will you follow? Are you a fighter or will you cower? It's our time to take back the power. Yeah. What you gonna do when you show up in black suits on the street and on big boots? And then silence you. Gonna say when they strip your rights away, the tax man makes you pay. With the judges so unjust, and the jury must discuss. So you don't look like one of us. Where you gonna turn? Now the court has been adjourned, and the lessons that you learned are not as many as I. Follow, are you a fighter or are you a coward?
just happened.
Look at that.
You guys, I'm a leader and I'm going to fight. That's my plan. Whoa.
Interrupters played acoustic live here on K-Rock. That is a song from your first album, I want to say.
Is that from your first album?
Yeah. That's an interesting choice. Way to sell the new record, you guys.
He broke a string on that one.
Oh, did you? Play it hard.
Yeah, nobody told them. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You guys are killing it.
Yeah, they're jamming it. And by the way, as I hear that, and it's fun to hear it acoustic because it's so different from on the album, but in my mind, I picture what that must be like for you to sing on stage with, you know, 5,000, 8,000, 10,000 fans, whatever it is, singing that chorus back to you. That just must feel like magic when you write something and see the way it resonates with a crowd.
Oh, man, it's everything. Yeah.
All right. Interrupters are here. Don't forget, again, they're going to be at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa tomorrow playing with Iration. Keep listening to K-Rock for your way to win passes into that. We do have time for another. We would be honored if you would play something for us.
All right. This next song's about a girl. And what happened to her, Amy?
Well, she got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'll do it again, 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 yeah. She met Loco Yoboko last Christmas. She drove a truck in town on business. On him, yeah. Got stuck, he was a stranger. Put his hands on her in anger. She got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshal caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'll do it again, do it again, do it again. Fingerprints on the murder weapon. All they needed was a dead confession. She was bloody, beaten for years. Her demeanor was cold, so she cried no tears. This time it was his blood on her. She wore like a badge of honor. She got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, for a year on trial. No regrets for the things she'd done. He lost the fight, she won, and told a story. The jury heard it, deliberated for the verdict. She's up for murder in the first degree. She refused to plead insanity. She got arrested for shooting down her man. Caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, I'd do it again, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, I'd do it again.
All right, let's go. If that song is not made into a major motion picture starring Aubrey Plaza, then I don't know anything. That is fantastic.
Thank you so
What are your plans for the summer into the fall? What's up for the Interrupters next after Morongo tomorrow?
Well, Morongo is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. After that, we're going and doing the Scallywag Festival. There's one in San Diego. There's one in Boise, Seattle, Denver, Austin. Then we are going to England in December and November.
Oh, nice.
Surf City Blitz in Huntington Beach, another one with Rancid.
You guys are living the rock and roll dream you've been thinking about your whole lives, aren't you?
Yes.
You're telling us, yeah. For sure.
Including being on this stage. So thank you for having us. It's truly an honor.
It's our pleasure. It's so wonderful to finally meet you in person. Thank you, guys. The Interrupters are the band. Their new album is called Fight the Good Fight. It's available everywhere. We love you so much. You got a home here at K-Rock. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
I saw the press release from Sonic Drive-In that they were unveiling nationwide their new pickle juice slush yesterday.
Are those words you want to hear together?
No. Not for me. Look, I don't... Kevin, you're not a pickle fan, right?
Yeah, I'd rather die.
All right. How about you, Allie?
I like a pickle.
I do, too. Yeah. I like a pickle on like on a veggie burger or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't drink pickle juice or eat pickles out of the jar or anything like that.
Well, what if the slushy... tasted exactly like a pickle.
I don't need it.
You guys like a pickle, so why
I
not?
Like pickles on like a Subway sandwich or something.
Oh, is it an addition?
Not just as a main course, no.
I see.
The bright green limited time drink will be joined by three new summertime flavors the fast food chain announced. Sonic's guests are game to try adventurous and fun flavors, so we've made it our mission to deliver the best of both worlds, blah, 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 blah. So we were talking about this, and we're thinking this is not something we need to try, but maybe we could send mugs. And then we realized there's no Sonic near us, and that's when Rachel comes in. Kevin Abean Lister, who said she lives near a Sonic. She'd be happy to try it out for us. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, you guys. Happy birthday, Allie.
Thank you.
You were very kind to weigh in on Twitter yesterday about our pickle discussion. Now, before we hear about your trip across the street to the Sonic, where were you and your boyfriend on pickles? What was your relationship with pickles prior to this?
We both really love pickles. I feel fine about pickle juice. I wouldn't drink it to quench my thirst, but right. I don't know. I really like pickles.
Okay, so you both feel that way. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so you went last night or today, or when did you go?
I went last night when I got home from work. Mm-hmm.
And they're selling the pickle juice slush.
Yes.
And you said those words, I'd like a pickle juice slushy.
I did.
Out loud, okay.
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they say, you're the first person to ask for that?
I know. I thought, I hope it's not sold out, but then I figured that probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah, probably not.
I might actually be the first one.
So just so I understand the transaction, you handed over hard-earned American money, and they pushed to you from their side of the counter something called a pickle juice slush.
Yes, and I got it 50% off because I went after 8 o'clock.
Who knew that was a deal?
And,
yes.
And what's the slush go for, Rachel?
Half off it was about $2.89, I think.
Holy crap.
So this is like
$5?
It's a $5 slush.
Ice?
That's incredible.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. And what did your boyfriend get?
He got the Tiger Blood slush.
The Tiger Blood slush.
Yes.
How many tigers do they have to kill for that?
Yeah, what does that mean? What is the Tiger Blood?
I don't really know, but it tasted kind of like cherry-ish, citrusy.
Okay. Like if you were to bite into a tiger.
So everybody knows that.
Right.
So Tiger's Blood, Blue Hawaiian, Bahama Mama, and the Pickle Juice Slush. Those are the four new flavors at Sonic. All right. Are we ready for Rachel's big reveal?
I mean, I feel like we are.
Ready for the review?
Yes.
So how was the Pickle Juice Slush?
It might have been one of the most disgusting things I've ever had in my life.
And you love pickles.
Someone loves pickles.
Yeah. I was hoping for maybe something more like subtly pickle flavor. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was hoping for the best that it would maybe be okay, but it was disgusting.
What a weird thought that yesterday during the day you were trying to guess what this was going to taste like.
Will it be tangy? Will it be?
That's weird. I hope it's really a light taste.
Was it super salty?
Yes. It was very sour and very salty.
Oh no.
Like I felt thirsty
afterwards.
Yeah.
maybe that's their plan. You order that, then you're like, God damn it, I need the tiger's blood. Right. And then they sell you too. Maybe.
Did you try the tiger's blood as well?
Yes, that was very good.
Oh. Huh. Mm-hmm. How much of the pickle slush did you drink, Rachel?
Oh, not even an eighth of
wow.
it.
Wow.
That's a pretty bad attitude left. About the pickle slush.
That's a big
really
waste of $2.50, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know.
That was half price.
And I tried putting some whiskey in it, hoping that maybe... Like,
oh, good idea.
I like the way you think.
Right. I'm supporting all of this.
But it somehow made it even, like, more bitter and more salty. It's like the alcohol got rid of, like, any sweetness out of it. You couldn't even taste any alcohol. It was just even worse.
Wow. This is a colossal disaster, you guys.
By the way,
according to Food & Wine magazine, they reveal that Sonic will also let customers add a squirt of pickle syrup to any item on the menu. They're really doubling down on this pickle thing, aren't they?
Do you want pickle syrup on
stuff?
No! Ew.
Yes, who indeed, Rachel? Exactly. All right, so I'm going to put you down as a no then on pickle slush.
Yes, absolutely.
Hard pass. Never,
you may like it if you like really, really, really love pickle juice, but I don't know. It was disgusting.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's your review right there. Right? Thank you, Rachel. We appreciate you listening. Thanks for working for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. Bye now.
Look, an apple's an apple. Am I right?
No.
No.
You're way wrong.
This conversation has been going on for days.
Well, it's important, Kevin, and that's why. It's important. Right. Look, here's what I'm going to say. There's no easier way to get into a fight at work than to start ranking foods.
Yeah.
I'm still furious at Allie for disparaging pumpkin pie, for instance. I can't even
disgusting.
Look at her. I can't even look at her.
Right?
Anymore.
It's nasty.
It's sweaty pie.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And you get out of my field of vision too, So then Dave shares some news because Dave's on all the hot websites, apparently.
Right.
That after 50 plus years, Red Delicious has now fallen to number 2 as the most grown U.S. apple, as Gala, or Gala, depending on how you pronounce it, takes the number 1 spot. So, the most popular apple in America for our entire lives has been the Red Delicious. It is no longer. Now it is number 2. And I saw that and I said, how could one person choose a Red Delicious apple? It's easily the worst of all apples.
What?
It's horrible.
Okay, listen. That's just stupid.
No, it's not.
No, here's the thing. You can like a green apple or any other apple more than a red apple. Mm-hmm. Stop saying it's horrible.
No, it is horrible.
It's an apple.
It's so mealy when you taste it. It's so mealy. It doesn't have that crispness, that flavor, the sweetness. It doesn't have anything. It's just like eating... It's like eating wet cardboard.
Yeah, it's like it's.
Oh, so it's a texture
that's what it tastes
thing.
Like.
Where are you guys buying your fruit, by the way?
Right?
It's gross.
You guys need to buy. I just go to Stater's. They have excellent fruit. I eat a Red Delicious. Well, when Kevin doesn't take a bite out of it, asshole. I'm not kidding, Kevin. I have an apple and I bring it to work and I put it on my little work desk and he'll just go in to record a commercial or something and he'll take a bite out of it and then just place it just so I can't see.
Yeah.
And then when I go eat my apple, Eric has a bite taken out of it.
Has that happened more than once?
It's happened like 10 times.
Okay.
Every single time I don't notice.
But here's what I'd like to say.
It's on you.
Dumb that you haven't noticed.
Okay.
And B, or two, it's a red delicious apple. And it's great.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's crispy.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, feel free to weigh in if you want at 1-800-520-1067 if you have apple thoughts like we do. Why would you, when you go to Stater Brothers, Omar.
Yeah.
Why would you choose a Red Delicious? Because I'm sure they sell Braeburns. I'm sure they sell Honeycrisp. I'm sure they sell the Gala. I'm sure they have lots of other apples that you know are better.
Absolutely. I've never heard of those apples.
My favorite's the Braeburn.
Okay.
The Braeburn is a great apple.
Yeah, but sometimes they're like $1.50 a pound. So I just go with the cheaper, the Red Delicious, because I don't really care what I eat here at work.
Okay.
You know, it's not for flavor. It's just to fill my tummy.
Yeah.
Do you know why the Red Delicious apples are so cheap?
No, I don't.
Because they're terrible. That's why. Because they need to make them cheap to get anyone to buy them.
But Allie's pick
blew my mind because this apple is hella nasty.
It's the best.
No.
Yeah, a Granny Smith green apple. A little tart, a little sweet. Oh, that is good time.
When you bite into.
Yeah. When you bite into a Granny Smith apple, you bite into this layer of wax because for some reason, the Granny Smith apple, the skin is extra thick. And when you bite into it, this spit develops right here in the back.
You're buying bad apples.
No. It's because it's sweet and tart and it's just
It is the tartest. I think it is the most tart of all the apples.
I love it.
And I like that one too.
I think Omar is right, by the way, that there is something about the skin. I don't know about the way they're processed or they're preserved or something like that, but it is super, super shiny. It's almost like they've encased it in plastic.
It's like a wax. Don't blame the Granny Smith for being beautiful. It can't help it.
Nobody likes Granny.
All right, let's hold on for 1 second and take a call. Let's go. Let's go to Dan and Pico.
Well, this better be Honeycrisp or get the F out is what this better be.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I can't believe I'm talking about apples this morning.
Right?
I got to say, I agree with Bean. Red Delicious apples blow.
They're the worst apple in the world.
That's absurd.
I'll tell you what's the best.
Look, they could not be the best, but they're still good.
They're terrible. Mm.
That's ridiculous. So
you're eating styrofoam and dust.
Thank you. Hey, all right, so what's your pick then? If you have your choice, you go into Omar's Stater Brothers. Hopefully you push him out of the way so you don't let him make another bad decision. What do you buy?
I buy Pink Lady apples.
Ooh. Oh, so Pink Lady.
And I don't think I know what that is.
I've never heard of that one either.
That is more popularly known as the Cripps Pink Apple. The Cripps Pink Apple. And
the
those are
one?
Throw up the signs and stuff. What's up, man?
Now, how did you get turned on to that? Because that's
Jumped in, Bean. Are you listening?
Okay, all right. He was driving down the road with his headlights off, and then he had to go buy a Pink Lady. All right, sir. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Zita. She's my soulmate. She's on line three. She's calling with her apple choice.
Hey, Zita.
Hi, how are you?
We are good. We're having a problem with the apples, though.
Okay, I will only buy Honeycrisp apples from Costco or Whole Foods.
Best apple on the market today is the Honeycrisp.
Okay, which one is that?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's got a little bit of a, it's mostly red, but it has some yellow on it a little bit, I guess.
Yes, yellow on it on the top.
So it's discolored?
It's really
No, it's not discolored. That's how it's supposed to look. And how do you describe the sweetness and the tanginess? It's so much better than most of the other apples, right?
Yes, and it's very crispy, and it's not mushy at all in the middle. It's very, very tangy, and then there's a little bit of sweetness in it. It's the best apple. But it's very expensive. I think it's the most expensive of them all.
It is the most expensive of them all. Yes.
Mm, rich Zita.
Yeah,
Zita. She's an apple snob.
Yeah.
Zita, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Now, let me ask you this, Kevin.
Yeah.
When you go in, do you do any of your own
vegetable
and fruit marketing? Send away? Okay. When you go in, what's your strategy when you get to the apple section? Do you just go and literally pick the first apple that's nearest to you?
No, I look at the red ones and I look at the green ones. Those are the only two I know is red and green.
Right.
And whichever one looks better, I take. They're both good. Sometimes one's better, the other's not.
So in your mind, all red apples are the same.
I mean, yeah, I've not heard of any of these other names of apples.
Oh, my God.
I've not heard of them.
All right. I don't even know what's happening here.
So disgusting.
Right. I am. Take your fruit seriously. All right. Let's do Sarah Lakewood, line four, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. She wants to weigh in with a different opinion.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Good luck. There's a lot of yelling going on.
Yeah, there is.
All right.
But I believe that the Fiji apple is the best apple in the bunch.
The Fiji apple?
I think you mean the Fuji, don't you?
It's Fuji.
Ooh la la la.
No.
You're right.
Okay, so Fuji. All right. What do you like about that compared to the other apples?
Because they're very juicy, and that's my favorite type of fruit is just the juice running down my face.
Oh,
go on. Yes. You know what? Fuji's my favorite too now.
Frequent Kevin to be listener and contributor Homie writes in, Red Delicious apples, which we've all agreed, and now Kevin, I think you're even starting to see that the crowd is against the Red Delicious. They're terrible.
No, they're fine.
They're named Delicious to brainwash us. They are disgusting. The reason they were number one for over 50 years is because they were in every school cafeteria in the country, which, by the way, might be true because they're cheap, the cheapest. So that's why, right? They aren't anymore, and they're now exposed as a fraud. So I think Homie is right. Get yourself a Honeycrisp, Kevin, and you'll see what we're talking about, all right?
I will give it a my go, Bean. I don't know how much time I'm going to spend looking for your apple.
Okay, I'm just saying. You'll thank me. You are minutes away from your tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Horror Nights with Megan Holliday as she broadcasts live this Thursday. We've got them for you this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Allie, how did you develop your gift? How did you become a dream interpreter?
Just one day we were talking about a segment, and I'm like, I can interpret dreams. And you said, what? And I'm like, trust me.
I'm happy we got that detail.
Yep. Yeah.
I am, too. Well, you really fleshed it out for us.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go 1-800-520-1067. We promised Mike would get first crack at it. He's in Anaheim. He's on line two. He's the guy with the dog in the dream. Let's find out a little bit more. Mike, thank you for calling and holding on. You're on with Allie, the dream interpreter.
Awesome. I'm super excited.
All right.
Hi, Mike. What's your dream? What's your dream?
So my dream is, I have a dream that one day, no. So my dream, my dog, an American Staffordshire, takes me out on a walk. And while we're walking, she's wearing a MAGA hat. Mm. And a weird detail about it is when I go do my business, every dream I have to go do my business, number two, and if I don't do it on the grass, I've done it on the sidewalk. She just barks at me the entire time.
Right, right.
So you and your dog switch places, basically, on a walk.
I hope, at least, for the dream. You don't do that in real life.
Well, all right. are you kink shaming me?
That's not nice. Allie, what do you make of that?
A lot of times when you dream about poop in any way, it's about fixing or having to clean something up. So what you are exhibiting here is there's something in your life that you're out of control with now. Because when it's the dog pooping, you clean it up, you fix it. But now it's you doing it, a dog having to fix it. You don't know how to go about that. So you're very nervous that you've done something that you can't fix.
Boom.
What about the hat?
The MAGA hat just means that you need to get a new dog because your dog is obviously a freak.
And a Republican.
Very weird. Very weird.
I thought it had to do with poofing, but thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mike. By the way, I think I blew it before we went to Mike's call. We do have a big Omar intro. Let's hit that now.
Why can't my boobs get bigger?
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Woo! Don't pull out.
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Smell it.
Allie Dream Interpreter. Come on now, Allie.
Suck it.
Oh, that was so worth the wait.
That was
so worth it.
Yeah. That was stunning. Yeah.
Lexi is on line three. She is in Monrovia. She's going to challenge you with her dream. Lexi, good morning. You're on with Allie Dream Interpreter.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
So my dream takes place in the 1920s, and I'm like super pregnant, bunch of kids running around, but I don't have anything remotely close lined up, like romantically, financially, education-wise. It's just a bizarre dream that keeps on happening.
Huh. All right, Lexi. What this means is you're thinking of a role in the 1920s, a woman maybe a little bit subservient, if you will. Only role would be to have the kids, that type of thing. You feel like you're being held back in some part of your life, and you don't want that to happen, so you keep dreaming it, knowing it's not really there, but it's your subconscious way of saying you need to break out of whatever it is that you think is holding you back at the moment. What's holding you back, Lexi?
I'm having some trouble becoming a teacher, to be honest.
Yeah.
Passing that last CSET that California happened to change. So what?
that is definitely holding me back.
That's the boulder in her path, Allie.
Yeah.
There it is. That's your pregnant baby, is that teacher.
And the children running around. It's almost a perfect metaphor.
Yeah, no You're kidding. Welcome. And do you have any relatives that have passed on with the letter B in their name? Or wait, are we doing something else?
No,
I'm sorry.
Totally different. Totally
All right, Lexi, thank you for the call. I hope that helps. Good luck being a teacher, too. I hope that works out for you. All right. How about a maybe turn this one down if the kids are in the car. Give us 1 minute with Valerie. Line four, she's in Linwood. She is up next with Allie on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Valerie.
What you got?
So basically, I am trying to masturbate while in the shower in my old childhood home.
Oh.
But I have a bunch of different family members, about 50, coming in and out of the restroom, and some are trying to hold the shower curtain. I'm trying to keep the clothes, and it's just like a big old party in there while I'm trying to do my own stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's not race through the details of this one. I want to make sure Allie has enough information to properly rule.
I think I'm good, Bean. I think I'm good. Here's the thing, Valerie. You're trying to get something done in your life, but a lot of people keep interrupting it, whether it's people that are telling you you're not doing it right, people that are telling you you should be doing other things. You need to stay the course. Don't listen to these other voices that are telling you you should be doing something else. You know what's best for you, and that's going to give you the best result. You know what I'm saying?
Also, maybe get a door lock.
That could help.
Yeah,
that could
maybe
help.
It could mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Great.
All right. Hey, call back early and often. Valerie, thank you. This has been Allie Dream Interpreter.
Allie Dream Interpreter. Woo!
Look who got up in the middle of the night to be here on the Kevin and Bean Show bright and early, you guys. Comedian, actor, writer, producer, Bill Burr.
Hey.
With us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Bill.
How are you?
You seem wide awake today. I thought you'd be dragging this early.
Nah, you know, people... I grew up, I had a paper route, and I got a kid now, so I would probably, I got up maybe like an hour earlier than I normally do.
I had a paper route, too, and I quit it when a dog chased me and bit my ankle.
Oh, see, what
I go for you?
I brought a treat the next day. And the dog came up, and I just, big German Shepherd, I just threw it and went after that, and then every day I just brought one. And...
That's a terrible job.
Yeah.
The paper route.
I didn't mind it. No, it was a great job.
You had a tubing?
Yeah, I had a paper route. I didn't mind it at all. Man, taught you about, I always had money. I had no overhead.
That's true.
Right? No debt, no credit card debt, no ex-wives or anything like that. You just, like football cards and...
Sure.
You know, getting a candy bar every once in a while.
Kids, a paper route used to be a thing when there was a paper. Uh-huh. It was actually on a piece of...
Why would you print out tweets or stories from the internet, though, Kevin? I don't understand.
It's a different world now.
Bill, is your life a great deal different having a child? And the reason I ask you specifically is everybody's life changes, obviously, when they become a parent. But because of the kind of work you do and the traveling and everything that you do, has it changed a lot having a baby?
I travel differently. I don't go out for as long... definitely FaceTiming all the time. But as far as, like, you know, seeing the world differently, maybe. I mean, somebody cuts me off in traffic, you know, occasionally I'll think, that's somebody's kid.
Wow.
You know, like, maybe.
You softened just a little.
No, if I you know, beep at somebody, I pull up next to them. It's more if they're older. I go, that's somebody's mom. That's somebody's grandmother. I can't believe I just did that. But other than that, you know, I'm
pretty
still,
much the same.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is, like, overrated, and I think parents try to compete with each other with these, you know, going on and on about how much they changed, and, like, I don't even look at butterflies the same way anymore, and blah, blah. It's, you know what it is. Human beings, it's like we're self-involved, or maybe I'm so self-involved I'm putting that on everybody else, but it's just like...
Oh, no, I think you're right. I think you're right, too.
You know, you meditate, you get everything into, yeah, man, and everything's all groovy and all that, and then, the first thing that goes wrong, you know, you go to click on a website and it doesn't load, you're like, what's going on? You just flip out again.
Now, I don't want to, please stop me if I'm getting too personal here, but your plan was to wait until you were practically a senior citizen to have a baby?
Why do you always got to come at me?
That's
like
how
that?
He
no,
does.
I'm just saying, I don't mean to be like, you just be a jerk.
That's how he does.
Stop putting your hands up, you passive aggressive pansy.
I'm just saying.
Every time I come in here, you just can't be a man about it. I get it. I'm sorry I'm selling tickets on the road, and I'm sorry I did it perfectly. I'm sorry I made the dream come true before I got saddled with a marriage and a kid and ended up unloading trucks for the rest of my life in a warehouse. I did it perfectly.
Let me rephrase the question.
Don't, you dick.
Unbelievable.
Just let it go.
Good Lord.
You're 50, though, which is an unusual time to have a first child. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but if you look at the population problem, what I did was perfect. Because by the time my kid's like, 25, 30, I'll be out of there. You know what I mean? So that's
why. Okay. Well, yeah. You mean dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And me and my wife are two people, and we just made one. So we cut ourselves in half, and we'll both be out of there. So, like, what is the problem? What is the problem now?
I got no problem with that. No problem at all. When your kid is 20, it'll be 150 degrees in America.
He always says, hey, you know, it's great. You got up early. He always gives this soft thing, and then, boom. That's
but here's
the way
what
it
I
is.
Love. He does that to everybody.
I know.
And very few people actually call him on it.
Yeah,
I love that.
I feel bad for the woman, man, or they in his life, whatever you're supposed to say now. I really do. It's the ride. It's the ride you get on. No, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Close you back in. And you think, oh, maybe this roller coaster goes a different way. No, it's on tracks, dude. It's the same ride.
Learning something about myself today here. Thanks, Joel. You got a lot of stuff going on right now.
What other passive-aggressive thing do you want to ask me?
I adore you, Bill, and I, again...
Hey, bring me back. Hey, let's get on the ride again.
See how it works?
Here we go. Going back up the hill.
You're proving Bill's point.
Come on, you guys. Should I just sit this one out? Would that make everyone happy?
Oh, no, I'm enjoying
now
this more.
I'm playing the victim. Oh, I'll just take my microphone and go home. You're not even here.
Kevin, why don't you ask a question?
Tell us about F is for Family, season 3 today.
Yes, F is for Family, season 3 on Netflix comes out today. I don't know. It's another 10 episodes. The Murphy family continues on. If you guys have watched, if you haven't seen F is for Family yet, it's based loosely, very loosely on my childhood. And it just came from telling childhood stories on stage. And finding that people, everywhere from millennials and whatever they're called now.
I don't know what they're called now.
Yeah, no. Everybody, I thought millennials were still in college. They're age 24 to like 38, believe it or not.
Oh. Are they Xennials now? Is that the new one?
I don't know what.
It's something aggressive. I forget. It's a cool name for a generation. But anyways, I've just been telling those stories, and everybody, as much as they're acting like the world has changed, everybody's been able to relate to that stuff. So
I love the show, by the way. No joke and no backhanded compliment here. I think it's hilarious. I love that it's set in the 70s, first of all, because even though it's animated, it's just so funny to see like people smoking everywhere and stuff like that. It's entertaining on that. But I also am astonished by the voice talent you get on this, Bill, and I wanted to know how you line up these crazy names to be on your show.
Well, a couple reasons. I got in business with Vince Vaughn, his production company, Wild West, so that brought a lot of credibility. And then our showrunner is the great Mike Price from The Simpsons. So what happened was we wrote a killer pilot, and how it works out here is to get it into the bigger people's hands, you need to get that first big person to sign on. And I believe it was either Justin Long or Sam Rockwell.
You got one of those,
yeah,
and then people started paying
Vince
attention?
Vince was friends with those guys and done movies and stuff with them, and then so they signed on to do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, Sam Rockwell is attached. So then you can kind of move up the actor ladder. And
it's sort of shocking that if you write a great pilot for a great show, that that's not enough to even get anyone's attention.
No, you
have to get some names.
It can create like buzz and stuff. So I think there was a little bit of buzz about the script. And then, and then we got a name attached. It's like it's like opening a nightclub. If the beautiful girls are down there, then it's going to be good.
Right, but then when you watch TV, you go, I heard Bill describe what it's like to get a show on, and then you watch other shows, and you go, did they make it through that whole process without maybe knowing someone?
Yeah, but a lot of that could be just that show's just not for you because it's on the air, so it's probably doing well on some level. So
I don't think that's true. There's shows that suck.
There's definitely shows that suck. But that's also your personal preference, because then you'll run into somebody that has a T-shirt and all the merch from the show going, I love that show. How could you say that? That's life how it is. So
here's the answer, by the way. Generation Z is people born from the mid-90s to the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Born since the year 2010 is Generation Alpha. Those are the children of
that's a cool one. Generation Alpha
is a cool one.
I like that.
Hey, one more F is for Family thing before we take a break and come back with the great Bill Burr. And that is, the Murphy family dog is named Major on the show, right? Joe Biden just got himself a German Shepherd and named him Major. I was wondering if you think the former Veep is an FSR Family fan.
That would be cool, but that's based on my grandfather on my dad's side. He had a dog named Major. So like I said, it's just little things. Like I when I did the show, I didn't want my family to be like mortified that I put all our dirty laundry out there.
Right.
So if my family sits down and watch it, specifically my parents, if they could ever figure out how to do, you know, turn on Netflix, which they can't. Like, they've never seen it.
They've never seen your show.
No. There's like, they'll see elements of, like, you know, there's a few things that Frank says or a few mannerisms that are my dad. But a lot of it's, you know, Mike Price's dad, Dave Richardson, Emily Towers, you know.
So you try not to pin it down to them specifically, so then they'll get their feelings hurt.
Yeah, because I respect the fact that I was the one stupid enough to get on a stage and be, hey, this is my name and this is what I look like. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because there is, as cool as it is to do that, there is an element of, that you know, privacy and stuff that you lose in that thing. So I feel like it's a personal choice, which is also why I don't do jokes about my kid on stage.
Interesting. Send your parents a DVD, though. Give them a chance to see the show. I think they'll like it.
Oh, they don't even know if I could get that. I don't think there's a DVD player over at Netflix. Can't you burn us a copy? They're like, we stream globally.
Right, exactly. F is for Family Season 3, available starting today on Netflix. We'll also talk about the movie that Bill's in right now and the stand-up that he just did at Madison Square Garden and so much more with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock.
I'm telling you, the show that Bill Burr does off the air, you guys, is a real treat to hear.
It's the one he does on stage as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The great Bill Burr, comedian, actor, producer. He does it all back in studio.
Former
with
paper rootist.
Former paper rootist, yeah. We talked about F is for Family on Netflix Season 3 starting today. By the way, you know, I'm sure you've seen this in your Twitter feed, Bill. You already have people who have binge-watched the entire season, stayed up all night watching it.
That's
sure
right. That's my favorite thing. It takes us well over a year to make it, and then they just shotgun it.
You know? 6 hours, they're done.
Like, hey, when's the next one coming out? I don't know, man. You got to give me a year.
You have a film in theaters right now called The Front Runner, which I don't think has gotten the attention that it deserves. But based on the fact that the story is so fascinating and a lot of people won't know it or remember it, and the fact that your cast is incredible in this with Hugh Jackman and J.K. Simmons and Vera Farmiga and you and Alfred Molina and so much more. Tell us what The Front Runner is all about.
Well, first of all, it's the perfect movie for this time. It's the Gary Hart story, and it is about this candidate, Gary Hart, who was the front runner in 1988 after Reagan had done 8 years, and he was looking like the candidate that was going to win it. And for the first time ever, mainstream media went into the personal life of a politician's life, and they discovered that he was having an affair, and his whole campaign flamed out. And I remember it being like 6 weeks, 2 months. It was a week.
Wow.
He was going to be the next guy, good-looking guy. You know the deal. He was 8 years of a Republican, so now it's like, let's talk to the guys with the blue ties, right?
And he was very charismatic, young, Kennedy-esque, and people just, they loved him.
Had great ideas.
And that's the first time mainstream media went into the scandal part of it?
Yeah, and that's what fascinated me about when I was reading the script was the Miami Herald that blew it up, and they had this big conversation of like, we can't do this. If we do a story like this, we'll be like the Inquirer or the Star. Like, we do news. This is like nobody's business. And basically that happened and just got rid of a great candidate. And what's crazy about it was like 4 years later, along comes Clinton, who just had a zillion of those scandals, and he was just like, yeah, man, I hooked up with all of them. Want to hear me play the sax? And he just plowed through it. And I always pictured Gary Hart sitting there going like, you could do that? I don't know you could do that.
What the hell?
But it really, like, the some of the people that have been weighing in on it, of course, I don't know their names, but, like, you know, super intelligent people, were talking about how that switch in media really changed this country, both for the right and the left, in that there's a lot of super intelligent people out there that...
who would be good leaders.
Who then decided, I'm not going to put my family through that. Because everybody's made mistakes, and it's just like... Or just the fact that I'm even looking for it or suggesting, and not forget about the internet where there's like no libel. You can just say anything about anybody.
Right.
And they get into your kids' lives and all of that type of stuff, that it really hurt this country both on the left and the right.
I agree. I remember when people were trying to get General Powell to run, Colin Powell to run, and a lot of people on both sides of the aisle thought this is a guy who would be great. And he said at the time, he says, I'm not going to put my family through it. It's just not worth it. So because he had seen what the politics and journalism had become.
Yep.
I don't blame somebody for not wanting to run for office at this point.
No,
I
people really on the don't. Internet would have wrote a bunch of racist things and tried to find out where his family was and just put him through all that, and it's terrible. And the only way to change it would be if regular people like us didn't pay attention to it, and you know, because it's all about money and that type of thing. So
right. We should be deciding what's important and what's not important.
Yeah,
right.
And we all know that we're not going to do that.
Correct.
Because
absolutely.
We're a bunch of donut-eating, sports-watching jackasses, which is Gary why we don't run the country. But all these super smart people that should be doing it, we should
either.
Do them a solid and stay out of their personal lives, because you know that isn't any of your business, and human beings are inherently flawed, so everybody's going to have something like that. So then it becomes you got to have somebody that not only is smart, they also have the, I don't know, the personal strength to go through it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Gary Hart's still alive. Has he made any kind of comment? Has he seen the movie? Have you talked to him?
Dude, I have like 8 lines in the movie, you know? I was lucky
right.
to talk to the craft service person.
Okay, all right. Has he seen the movie? Do you know? Has he commented on it?
Yes, he has seen the movie. And what was the name of the woman that he hooked up with?
Donna Rice.
Donna Rice. Yeah. She saw it. They all really enjoyed. You know, Donna Rice thing was handled really well, where it wasn't the way it was handled the first time around. And yeah, I guess he really liked it. And from what I also heard, that he was saying that he felt he was set up.
Oh really?
No, but I mean, it's politics. I mean, that wouldn't be surprising. They're always trying to do stuff like that. Yeah. But I don't know.
So I can't wait to see it. It sounds like a fascinating movie again.
Oh yeah, and Hugh Jackman and Vera Farmiga and everybody in it is just absolutely incredible. Yeah, and
it's called The Front Runner in theaters now.
Yes.
Oh, it's out now. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Bill, before we go, you did. You said your favorite 90 minutes of stand up ever at Madison Square Garden last week, right?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
When are we going to get to see that?
Well, I mean, I didn't film it, so I mean, I recorded it.
So never?
I recorded it, so I'm playing with the idea of how I can put that out, because I am going to be shooting another special next year, so, but I feel like there'd be too much of an overlap with the audio and the actual special as far as material, and I don't want to rip people off, so.
Does that make it so much harder to be a comedian that you burn stuff by putting it out there? And
no,
now you can't do it anymore.
But then that's great.
It's good. Okay.
It's great, yeah, because then you get to talk about new stuff. You get to progress as a person. It only stinks, I think, if, I don't know, for some people, like, material comes a little bit harder, you know?
Yeah.
But fortunately, I'm a long-winded jackass.
You sure
so
are.
I can, yeah.
You've got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things.
You can talk about anything forever. Yeah. That's amazing
and
to me.
And never really make a point.
Well, you do, sometimes.
That's how I get people to watch me for an hour. They're like, this has to be leading to something. And by the time they realize it isn't, I'm like, thanks a lot, everybody. Good night. And I go, damn it, he got me again.
Well, you
thought something interesting was going to happen.
You've always been so generous with your time coming in on the Kevin Bean Show bright and early in the morning. We really, really appreciate it. Before we say goodbye to Bill Burr and wish you a happy holidays, we're going to do 60 seconds with the great Bill Burr. Kevin is going to fire questions at you. First thing that comes to your mind, Bill, just answer it and we'll move on to the next one. 60 seconds.
This is a dangerous game nowadays.
Is it dangerous?
Okay.
With you, I think it's going to be fun.
These are easy questions.
Okay.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Lawyer.
What's something people would be surprised to find out about you?
That I like the holidays.
Who's your biggest influence in comedy?
I like the holidays.
Biggest one influence?
If I
had to pick one,
yeah.
It would be Richard Pryor, and specifically when he was taking you down and he almost made you sad and cried, and then he could bring you back to laughing again. I don't know how to do that, but that was the one thing that blew my mind as a fan of comedy.
What advice would you give your teenage self?
Go up to the beautiful girl and just say hi.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Oh, good Lord. I mean, it happens.
I mean, I'm not asking if it happens.
Dogs don't really ask for your permission. Dogs haven't caught up to the Me Too movement yet.
That sounds like a yes to me.
It sounds like you don't have a choice is the answer that Bill gave.
Thank you. Still can't believe Will Ferrell is coming in next hour, you guys.
Well, he's not here yet. Don't jinx us.
He'll be here. Will's reliable. He'll be here.
He is reliable.
And this Holmes and Watson. What looks better than Holmes and Watson?
I'm in.
I'm in, too.
Agreed.
Hey, This is the time of year where we start to reflect back on the year that was, in this case, 2018. We have something on the show called drops or sound bites, depending on which radio term you like to use. And it's the little clips of funny audio sometimes that we play throughout the show. And some of them become very popular with our listeners. We get requests for drops sometimes from people.
Bean is spectacular at work. He's
amazing.
Yeah, well, you're very sweet to say that. I definitely enjoy it. In fact, I've said many times that my goal, my radio goal, is to not have to talk anymore and just be a guy who hits buttons that plays sound bites. So every year we try to put together the top 10 sound bites that kind of represent the year that was. And I'm telling you, it was real tough this year. I mean, some of the ones that didn't make it, for instance.
Mr. Boombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
That didn't make
that
the top 10?
That didn't make the top 10.
I want to recount.
That's how great this year was. Yeah. Wow. This one, not on the top 10.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but I'm wow. asleep.
What is on this list?
Any of these could have been number one.
This is a terrible list you've assembled.
I think what he's saying is it's the best list.
I'm saying it's a great list.
Let's wait and see.
And by the way, a lot of people mock our president, but we are going to miss the human soundbite machine when he's gone. I'm telling you, we're going to miss the Covfefe and the smocking gun and everything else that he does. This was one that I was in love with for like a month, but then forgot about, and I can't believe it.
It's a trap.
I mean, come
that's on you.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
All right, but we did narrow it down to 10. Hit it, Steve.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No one knows. Audio clips, also known as drops. Which one will have a shot? This is Top Drops. Top Drops. This is Top Drops. This is Top Drops. Which one will be on top?
Of 2018. All right, this number 10, I have to give Jensen all the credit. Oh. It was a late in the year sneak in that Jensen made us aware of, and we've just all fallen in love with it.
Number 10.
That is Tim Allen. And what's the deal? That was on every episode of Home Improvement, Jensen?
Yes. Allie did a story about Tim Allen, and I went, and everyone looked at me.
We mocked you endlessly.
And I said that every episode of Home Improvement at the end of the theme song, he does that, and then we proved it. Hmm. And now it is, it hopefully will be in the legacy of the show forever.
Number 10. Yeah.
Here's number 9. This is one I think is going to make you guys smile when you remember little Brady that we had on the phone one day.
Number 9.
I want to see some naked dudes. That's why I built this pool.
Remember little Brady?
Sure.
Yes.
I love it. But Chip, aren't you friends with the family now? Didn't that one go off radio?
Yep.
In real life? All right. This is a number 8, and I apologize in advance to any dogs that are listening, but I got
number 8.
I mean,
he couldn't get that to stop for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I don't think I'm exaggerating. Mm-mm. About 3 months.
It was several weeks at least, but please. I could not get it to stop, and it was driving me insane. And I heard it 24 hours a day until I finally figured it out. So I started bringing it onto the air, and so many people complained because of their poor dogs, and I apologize.
This is Top Drops.
All right, let's see what's next here.
Number 7.
What they do.
I love it so much.
I think that's my favorite because it's the worst that you made the best by the way you used it. Because the first time you played it, we mocked you endlessly.
Yeah, it made no sense.
And then you started using it really at well-timed places. Mm-hmm. So congrats on getting that one in the top 10.
And then yesterday, a little behind the curtain, he did admit he had been sitting on it for months.
For months. Yes. Couldn't wait to
play
it.
Got a lot of stuff like that.
The OJs from around 1974, I think, from their song Backstabber. So yeah, I sat on that one for a while. Mm-hmm. All right, we continue to count down the top 10 sound bites of the year. Here's number 6.
Number 6.
Oh, hello.
I mean, come on.
That's my number 1 in my heart.
Jesse, you guys.
Caller Jesse.
Kevin, what was the story on Jesse?
You said, let's take one more call. I guarantee this is going to be a good one. We went to him, and he said that. And we just moved it into a commercial. We just said, nope, sorry.
Here's number 5. I think this one also needs a warning, just like the smoke detector, because this is one of the most terrifying sounds that you've ever heard.
Number 5.
Oh man!
I hate it.
Remember that video of that guy? I think he was in Alaska or something, and those lynxes were shouting at each other.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Jensen, I think you're going to be very happy about this one, too. Number four.
Number four.
Bong, bong.
Yeah.
Bong, bong.
Good one.
Bong, bong. This is Todd Drops. Now, Bong Bong is, was it RZA?
Yeah, RZA, RZA, yeah. The way he just basically says right on or I hear ya is Bong Bong.
And he said it to me. I was interviewing him at Comic-Con, and I had no idea what it meant. But I knew for a fact that I should know what it meant. The way he said it, the way he delivered it, it was like, well, that's just something I missed out on.
And what I love about it is it's like aloha. It's just one of those terms that is effective in many different situations. Like you can use Bong Bong as an exclamation. You can use it as a question. You use it anywhere.
Are you saying Bong
Bong?
Bomb?
No, it's Bong Bong. Yeah, Bong Bong. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's number three. I don't think there was a piece of music that we played more than this one this year.
Number three.
Boop-dee-doo-scoop.
Sure.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
All-time classic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kanye is a genius, or was. I think we can all agree.
Yes. Sure.
Now that we've had a few months to reflect on Poopity-Scoop, which I think was actually called Lift Yourself in the album, what do we think about it? Is it great or is it garbage?
I mean, it's great for the drop.
It's both.
I don't think I'll ever bump it in my car.
It's
while
garbage that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two is going to take you back to the spring, I think. This is one of the most controversial sound bites of the year. Why are you laughing?
Don't know.
I just think it's funny that we have a controversial drop.
Right. It was very controversial. This was the drop that we got the most requests in 2018 to stop playing.
Oh, oh I know.
What is it, Allie?
It's Pippa.
It's Pippa. It's a little dog named Pippa in Australia who used to every day, several times a day, run down and bark at a crocodile. And one day, the crocodile was fast enough to take Pippa out. And it's a horrifying piece of tape.
It cracks me up that you played it once, let alone many times.
Of and then all we started, people.
Yes, of all people.
Then we started calling back just to see maybe today's the day Pippa's going to make it. But unfortunately, she never did. And here it is.
Number two.
No.
The funniest part of that is the excitement for a half a second.
Right.
Yes. And then just disaster.
No, that is the modern day Hindenburg.
This is Todd Drops.
All right. The number one soundbite of 2018. There was never any doubt, even though a lot of other great audio came along in the year, when the Super Bowl happened last year. And we saw this in a television commercial.
Oh.
We knew it would be on our list and on our air forever.
Number one.
Nobody asked you, Kevin! Nobody asked you, Kevin.
I mean, when I saw that, I was just like, oh, my year is going to be something.
How perfect is that? And that's the top 10 soundbites of 2018.
This is Top Drops.
The Top Drops of 2018.
I know the answer for Kevin, and it's Rage Against the Machine. But let me ask Jensen and Allie, who is the band that you were most broken up about when they broke up? That destroyed your heart that they broke up, and you were so sad because they were so great, and you can't believe they didn't stay together.
I have a second place one, but go ahead, Allie.
Maybe Oasis.
Oasis is at the top of a lot of people's lists. That was a tough one.
Because it's a twofer. You love their music, and then they're brothers, and they hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah, Oasis is a good one.
My rap answer is Third Base.
Okay,
it's a group from the 80s and early 90s that did "Pop Goes the Weasel" and
"Goes the Weasel Goes Pop."
That one, that was a tough one for me.
Okay, but, and was there before you move on? Was there a chance at some point that they might get back together, but they never did? Like they never reformed or anything?
Absolutely, they did the Bad Woodstock. And then they, like a
year. We were at the Bad Woodstock, and it was horrible.
I know. And then a couple of years ago, they did a show in Brooklyn it was like a club show, and then there were rumors they were going to do more, and they didn't. But I've never seen them live, so that's rough for me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not really a breakup, but the Nirvana one hit me the hardest, that they wouldn't have any new music from that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Those are my two.
Okay.
Yeah, that's legit. Well, I have... There are a few in my lifetime. Led Zeppelin would be one.
Mm-hmm.
That was devastating to me because I felt like they could have gotten another drummer, but the rest of the guys in the band, they said, it's not Led Zeppelin without John Bonham, and we're not going on. It's the four of us, and that's the magic, right? And I have to respect that decision, but that one hurt me a lot. And ABBA was another one.
Mm-hmm.
ABBA hurt me.
Okay.
Because they were so great.
Right.
Now I have a third to add to the list, you guys.
No.
And we are listening to Witch Rot right now.
I thought you were summoning a spirit.
Right? We are listening to Witch Rot right now. And I didn't know about him until about 15 minutes ago. But now you're broken up. And I am devastated beyond words.
Yeah.
Witch Rot is a band out of Toronto. Chip, I can tell you're already loving them.
I was hoping for Hate Beak, but I'm in on this.
Yeah, this is very Hate Beak-like. This is their song on SoundCloud called Druid Smoke Part 1.
Oh.
Oh. They've broken up, you guys. There's no more Witch Rot, and I'm going to tell you why after we enjoy a little of the singing that goes along with this beautiful music. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are enjoying Witch Rot on K-Rock. Are we enjoying it? Yes, yes we are.
Okay.
Wait till you hear why they broke up. Here we go. This may be the last thing they ever do, you guys.
Is it because they didn't know how to mix their songs?
I mean, the production is she
in a tunnel?
What the hell?
I don't know.
She's in the same city.
We can't get the singer any louder? All right, let's break up. By the way, on SoundCloud, they also have Druid Smoke Part 2.
Sure.
Oh,
they have Devil's Dirt.
Oh, Devil's Dirt's my favorite.
And Crypt Reaper. Crypt Reaper.
Oh, Crypt Reaper. That was my dad's high school nickname.
By the way, Crypt Reaper is 11 minutes and 19 seconds.
Just the perfect amount of time.
So here's what happened to Witch Rot, and this was their fan must have taken this very hard when this was announced on Facebook.
The Witch Rot heads.
The Witch Rot heads, right. Due to the unfortunate reality of our guitarist effing my girlfriend of almost 7 years.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Witch Rot will be taking an extended hiatus. I, however, will continue the band in another space and time, being ripe with hate. The music is slowly flowing and without a doubt will become the most devastating, torturous music I have ever created.
Well, again?
Because that was sounded, way too cheery.
Right?
Right. They're going to get heavy on the next record, you guys.
Right, sure.
Thanks for the support. Stay heavy. Peter. Also, our drummer died.
Wait, what? What? P.S.?
Yes.
What? Yeah, seems like there should be more than an also leading up to that part.
That is. Or buried the drummer.
That's the second reason why they're breaking up. You know, we might have stayed together with the drummer gone, but this thing with my girlfriend, that will not stand. Now Witch Rot is over, you guys.
It's almost like he forgot about the drummer dying until just at the end.
So
he was
mad.
Like, oh, by the way, also a drummer.
Witch Rot's most popular performance on YouTube is at the Bovine Sex Club in Toronto. Imagine being in a sex club and Witch Rot playing.
And it's called the Bovine.
Yeah. And Witch Rot, Peter from the band, who I assume is the leader of the band, I guess. The photo that goes along with it is apparently he has smashed his guitar into a million pieces. And it's in a sad dumpster almost covered by snow. So he's having a rough week there at Witch Rot, and not as bad as the drummer is.
Right, sure.
But so along with Rage Against the Machine and Nirvana and Oasis, mm-hmm. we have to add Witch Rot to the list. I'm sorry to say. A great
this
band
sucks.
That may never perform together again.
There's going to be a gaping hole in K-Rock's absolute almost acoustic Christmas night two.
They were going to be the surprise guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you could never say gaping hole again.
Right, I would appreciate that
again,
as well.
My dad's other high school nickname.
Comedian Eddie F. joins us in a few minutes here on the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:07.
And don't forget, you are minutes away from Six Flags Magic Mountain. K-Rock Takeover is happening on November the 17th. We got tickets for you at 9 a.m. and then all throughout the day until 9 p.m. every hour at the top of the hour. By the way, has anyone checked on Eddie to see if he's scaled the outside of the building to get in?
Do not know. Do not know yet.
We found out today that he won't take elevators.
Yeah, which was a surprise to us.
Yeah, some claustrophobia.
Extremely claustrophobic, yeah.
So this is his first visit to the new facility since K-Rock moved, so I don't know how difficult it's going to be for him. We may have to go down to the parking lot and interview him there, I guess is what I'm saying. That's the way it's going.
All right.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, you Hall of Fame radio broadcasters.
Oh, come on,
don't
man.
Even start like that.
What are you guys doing?
We were doing well right up until now.
You guys have nothing to worry about.
Look. We know we're terrible, okay? You're not going to come in here and break any news here. I know you do the B-Team podcast with your little friends, and you go back and listen to old tapes of the Kevin and Bean Show and critique it.
Yeah.
We know we suck.
Listen. I beg to disagree, because if you sucked, then you would not be
in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Why don't you shut up and just get to the clips?
Alongside the likes of Vince Scully, Bob Hope.
I mean,
Jack Benny.
Unreal. Right.
Larry King.
What?
Yes, they all deserved it.
Casey Kasem.
No. Right.
A legend like Wolfman Jack.
I know. There was one mistake that was made, and it was the year they put it into the Hall of Fame.
I don't think they even knew it was us, because the day we got inducted into the Hall of Fame, they tweeted, congrats to Kevin and Bean from Kiss FM. Yep. They tweeted that. Yeah. I don't think they even knew it was us.
But I think they thought they were getting Seacrest.
Listen, you guys try to downplay your greatness.
Yeah, all right.
And,
what
you
do
know,
you got?
Allie, let's face it. We work with legends. We
really do.
Legends.
Right.
You know,
I'm really piling it on here.
Let's get to the embarrassing clips.
They're approaching 30 years.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get
on
to the
K-Rock.
Clips.
Yeah. Bring in the yucks. They're, you know what I mean? They're just so awesome. And over the years, I've done a couple of song tributes to you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done like...
You didn't take all of the time right there, so...
Listen, you guys are masters of the mic. We all know that, right? You guys are titans of the talk.
Oh,
you guys
gosh.
Are behemoths of broadcasting. So I've done...
This is going to be really bad,
so I've done a couple of songs like, you know, Kevin's a big-headed drunkie, but, you know, I've been along this journey with you for about 15 years here with Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. Yes.
And I have
Are there any clips associated with
there
this?
Is, okay. There is. There is.
Can we get to those?
I'm going to do a heartfelt song tribute.
Oh.
Because, you know, I've always done a song kind of like, you know, mocking Kevin and Bean. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I think, post being inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, you guys, like a fine wine, have gotten better with age. So I did a little tribute song, and this is all post,
right? And EFT is right. We have to go downstairs
you know
to interview
have,
him in the
have
parking lot.
We have plenty of time for this. So I put together a little tribute for you guys.
Oh,
and I want to give props to Trevor, the imaging director, did the vocals on this.
Oh, okay. No.
And this is just a little tribute to Kevin and Bean and how they've just gotten better.
You already said that.
Since being inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Okay. All right.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier. When the morning comes, you want to have some fun. But when you turn on the mic, we can hear you, and you sound so stupid and so dumb.
How are you, boy?
Every moment with, would you like to take that back? Cause you talk for a living, and I can't believe they let you broadcast on air.
Might have said that's a toss-up.
You talk for a living. I cannot believe that you guys get paid to do this.
Sorry, I have to swallow.
You guys are freaking idiots.
I'm just a dumbass.
This is a tribute to...
Why?
Tribute to Kevin and Bean.
Tickets on sale Friday 10 at noon. Friday 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
Very talented actor Dylan McDermott here on the K-Rock Morning Show. That's us, right, Kevin?
I don't think we've ever called it that.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
No still Afro with an H?
They had to do that emergency thing where they, whatever it is, they put on you to bring your breath back or whatever. It's like... Probably not the best description.
And then to get that response, just pours fire on the you know, gasoline, whatever. However that one works.
Agreed.
However that works.
323-520-1067. That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. We have your calls on the air.
What? No.
Is that not right? 323-520-AFRO.
Yep.
That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. Jesus.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You're listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew's on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Now, I know that's a tenuous... What's the word I'm looking for after tenuous? Anyone? Bean's just being quiet on purpose, because that's the rule. I know that's a weak example, is what I'm trying to say.
Would it be a connection? A
connection.
Connection? Could that be it?
Thank you, Bean. Connection is the word I could not think of.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Wow, this is something.
The only thing I can think is mistaken door. They thought they were doorbell identity. No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
Yeah, you guys are real. What's the word I'm looking for? Discerning. You're really discerning. Woo!
Andrew Siciliano on the line. Andrew Siciliano, I should say. More pronounced the better.
Huh? What? You all right?
More pronounced better. Oh,
you blow. You blow. You blow. Blow. Blow.
That's the secret success, secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
I mean,
Hall of Fame! Hall of Fame!
I mean, I gotta admit,
that was pretty good.
You're welcome.